أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. أيها الإخوة، my dear brothers in Islam and sisters, it brings me great pleasure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His mercy has gathered us this afternoon in this house of the houses of Allah. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our stay one of benefit, and that we do not leave this gathering except that He has forgiven us in our sins and increased us in knowledge. The topic which I will discuss today has been entitled in the flyer as Jahiliyyah in America. And while this is not the direct topic I will be discussing, it is close to it. The topic that I would like to share with my brothers and sisters is Jahiliyyah at the end of the 20th century. And without doubt, both topics are quite similar, because the major form of Jahiliyyah and the greatest type of Jahiliyyah in the world today is the American Jahiliyyah. So if we are to say Jahiliyyah at the end of the 20th century or Jahiliyyah in America, they is not far from one another in title. Why discuss the subject of Jahiliyyah at the end of the 20th century? I mean, what is the importance of this topic? Why should we be interested and concerned with this? This is for a number of reasons. First of all, my brothers and sisters, we are now coming at the end of a century, indeed an end of a millennium. Yes, it is true that according to the Islamic calendar which we follow, it is the year 14 and 17. However, though, to the unbelievers, which out of Allah's decree, they now hold the position of leadership in the world, and it is they who influence much of the course of events and the beliefs and the ideas of the people by Allah's decree, they are now coming upon a very momentous occasion, a very important time, and that is the end of 2,000 years after the birth of Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam. And so since as they are coming closer to this end of this century, the beginning of the next, and since they are coming to the end of a millennium and the beginning of a new one, they now look at themselves and they say, we are what it is in the world, and it is upon all the peoples of the world to follow our way of life. Indeed, one of them recently, an author who's American but of Japanese descent, he wrote a book called The End of Time. And in this book he said that the whole world will eventually follow this American way of life. The ideas, the beliefs, the morals, the teachings, the values, everything which we see in our day to day. And he said the only people left who haven't come aboard are the Muslims. And it's just a matter of time when they have to also come aboard and follow this way of life. Because humanity will never find a better way of life than what we have now. This is what he said. And this book influence and the ideas of it are an indication of what these people think. And it is also important for us to know this topic, because by knowing falsehood, we know truth better. And by knowing falsehood, we are, and since Allah has guided us to the truth of Islam, we have become more thankful to Allah. And by knowing falsehood, we also learn to be more stronger in the truth, and to also spend our energies and efforts to save the rest of mankind from this falsehood that they are in. And alhamdulillah, by Allah's grace and mercy, as I can see, it seems for me, that most of the brothers here have all left Jahiliyyah and have come to Islam. And this is from the great blessings of Allah, Azza wa Jal. And so therefore each one of us has some knowledge of Jahiliyyah. And each one of us has some knowledge of Islam. But the idea of the lecture is to sort of tie these beliefs and ideas and knowledge we have and sort of make it more systematic, that we may then therefore understand the world we are living in, so that we can worship Allah Azza wa Jal better by being more effective in giving da'wah and in being able to deal with this Jahiliyyah which has engrossed the world, except for those who Allah has shown His mercy to. Indeed, when people believe in falsehood, this Jahiliyyah, and reject the truth, they have lost such a loss, there is nothing worse than that. As Allah Azza wa Jal says in His Qur'an, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْبَاطِلِ وكفروا بالله أولئك هم الخاسرون. Allah عز وجل says in his book that those who believe in al-batil, in falsehood, and disbelieve in Allah, they are the losers. Meaning there is nobody who has lost more than them. You can't be have a worse loss than that. When you disbelieve in Allah, which means disbelieving in Islam, disbelieving in the Quran, disbelieving in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and at the same time not just disbelieving in it, but believing in falsehood, whatever that falsehood has mean is. Whoever gathers these two qualities in his heart, of disbelief in the truth and belief in the falsehood, as Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ, meaning that there are no losers other than them. There is no loss greater than that loss. So what is the meaning, or what is the intent by the word jahiliyyah? We should first understand that al-jahiliyyah, according to the terminology of the sharia, is used in two contexts, in two ways. It's used in a general sense, in an encompassing sense, and it's used in a specific sense. And we need to know the difference. As far as the general sense, it refers to that time period which occurred before the sending of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How the world was in terms of the beliefs, the attitudes, the ideas, the customs, the way of worshipping, the morals, and how they dealt with one another of human beings before the sending of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referred to as al-jahiliyyah. And al-jahiliyyah in Arabic means ignorance. It means ignorance. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in his Quran, telling the wives of the Prophet, and also commanding all Muslim women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَلَتَبَرَجْنَا تَبَرُّجُ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ الْأُولَى. Do not go out and mix with men as was done in the first jahiliyyah. First jahiliyyah here means the jahiliyyah which they were in before they came to Islam, as some of the scholars of tafsir have said. So this jahiliyyah is the first jahiliyyah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described to us this jahiliyyah in many of his ahadith, in many of his statements. Among which is the hadith which is reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, almost at the end of his book, when he described the characteristics of the people of paradise and the characteristics of the people of hell. This hadith is reported by one of the Prophet's companions, Iyad bin Himar al-Mujashi'i, wherein he which he said, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ذات يوم في خطبته, that the Prophet ﷺ said one day in his khutbah, ألا إن ربي أمرني أن أعلمكم ما جهلتم مما علمني يومي هذا, that the Prophet ﷺ said that my Lord, meaning Allah, has commanded me that I teach you what you are ignorant of from what Allah has taught me this very day. And then the Prophet ﷺ taught them some matters. The first matter was that he said, كُلُّ مَالٍ نَحَلْتُهُ عَبْدًا حَلَالٌ كُلُّ مَالٍ نَحَلْتُهُ عَبْدًا حَلَالٌ. The Prophet ﷺ said that, meaning Allah said, that every form of wealth which I have given my servants is halal. What does this mean? It doesn't mean that whatever means you get the wealth is permitted for you, but it means that in its origins, that all forms of wealth and all forms of property are halal. Unlike the pagan Arabs, for instance, who had certain ideas that certain camels, they would not consider halal for them, for instance, to ride, or halal for them to slaughter and eat, because they had some sort of superstitions around them. So to wipe out these ideas, the Prophet ﷺ told us that Allah said to him, commanded him, that every form of wealth is halal. Now this does not mean, again I say, that any means that you might acquire the wealth is halal, but it means that in its origins, property, the root word is that it's halal. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the Prophet, and the Prophet tells us that Allah said, وَإِنِّي خَلَقْتُ عِبَادِي حُنَفَا كُلَّهُمْ وَإِنَّهُمْ أَتَتْهُمُ الشَّيَاطِينُ فَاجْتَالَتْهُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِمْ وَحَرَّمَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ مَا أَحْلَلْتُ لَهُمْ وَأَمَرْتُهُمْ أَنْ يُشْرِكُوا بِي مَا لَمْ أُنْزِلُ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah said that I created my servants unafa, meaning hanif, meaning they're only worshipping Allah azza wa jal. And then the devils came to them and took them from their religion and made them forbid that which I made lawful to them. And the devils commanded them to commit shirk, worship others with me, to which I have given them no authority. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ نَظَرَ إِلَى أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ فَمَقَتَهُمْ عَرَبُهُمْ وَعَجَبُهُمْ إِلَّا بَقَايَا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. And the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked upon the people of the earth, and he hated them all severely, except for Arabs and non-Arabs, except for a few remnants of the people of the scripture. Meaning at the time of the sending of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, Allah hated all of humanity very severely. Why? Because they were committing shirk, because they were in jahiliyyah, they were not in Islam, except for a few remnants, few individuals, who were still upon the religion of the previous prophets, who they stayed to it, not changing those religions. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet, and the Prophet tells us, وَقَالَ إِنَّمَا بَعِثْتُكَ لِأُبْتَلِيكَ وَأَبْتَلِي بِكَ. That verily I have sent you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to test you and to test others regarding you. Meaning to test you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will you discharge this message? And will you remove this jahiliyyah and bring Islam to the people? And act as Allah has commanded you and bring this good and this truth to the people? And I will test humanity to see will they follow you and will they obey you and will they believe in this message that you came with and leave the jahiliyyah that they are upon. And then the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah said, وَأَنزَلْتُ عَلَيْكَ كِتَابًا لَا يَغْسِلُهُ الْمَاءُ تَقْرَأُهُ نَائِمًا وَيَقْضَانُ. That, and I have sent upon you a book which cannot be washed out by water. You will read it while you're asleep and while you're awake. What does this mean? That this Qur'an cannot be removed, cannot be destroyed. You know, in the old days you might imagine when there used to be very few copies of a book, not these modern printing presses. If there was one copy of a book that you wrote and something happened to that book, that water got on it and so the ink was stained, or for instance that it was burned, that book would no longer exist anymore because there weren't many copies. But this Qur'an is such that water cannot wipe it out, meaning that it will always remain. And that's why the hadith explains that the reciter will recite it while he's asleep and awake, meaning that the memory, his memory of these verses in the Quran will remain with him at all times. He will not forget it. Or, some scholars have said that it means that he's able to recite it during times of hardship and during times of ease. But anyway, the hadith continues, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنِي أَنْ أُحَرِّقْ قُرَيْشًا وَقُلْتُ رَبِّي إِذَنْ يَفْ لَهُ رَأْسِي فَيَدْعُوهُ خُبْزًا. And then the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah has commanded me that I burn Quraysh. Quraysh was the power in his day. The Arabs, the tribe of Quraysh, were the ones who were in charge of Arabia. And they were the greatest enemies to this religion. And so the Prophet ﷺ was commanded by Allah to burn Quraysh, meaning to wipe out this jahiliyyah and this falsehood that they were upon. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, so I said to my Lord, other than this means, if you have commanded me this, that they will break my head like you break a piece of bread. In other words, if the Prophet ﷺ was to come with this message of Islam, to remove this jahiliyyah, then the jahiliyyah would come with what? To break his head, because jahiliyyah and falsehood wants to try to remain. And so then Allah told the Prophet ﷺ, because the Prophet ﷺ was concerned that how could he face these evils, so Allah said to him, أَسْتَخْرِجْهُمْ كَمَا اسْتَخْرَجُوكَ وَأَغْزُوهُمْ وَأَغْزُوهُمْ نُغْزِكَ وَانْفِقْ فَسُتُنْفِقْ عَلَيْكَ وَابْعَثْ جَيْشًا نَبْعَثْ خَمْسَةَ مِثْلَهُ وَقَاطَ بِمَنْ أَطَاعَكَ عَنْ مَنْ أَصَاكَ. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the hadith continues, it told the Prophet ﷺ, kick them out as they removed you, and wage war against them, we will assist you, and spend money in the path of Allah, we will spend upon you, and send an army, we will send five with them, and fight those who obey you against those who disobey you. This hadith, and then the Prophet ﷺ described the characteristics of the people who go to paradise, and then the characteristics of the people who go to hell. This hadith, from this khutbah of the Prophet ﷺ, this one khutbah describes to us the message of Islam, and describes to us the path of da'wah, and describes to us what is the intent and the aim of Islam. The Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hated the people of the earth, irrespective if they were Arabs or non-Arabs. except for those few people who were upon the truth, who remained upon their previous scriptures. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the Prophet sallallahu and sent him out so that the people would be tested regarding their obedience to him. And that the message of the Prophet sallallahu he would be tested, his message was to remove jahiliyyah, to remove the falsehood that people were upon. And the Prophet was concerned that in order to remove this falsehood, the people of falsehood would stand in his face and would wage war against him and would go against him. And that, therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him not to be concerned, but that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would defend him, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would preserve this message, and that he should use those who obey him against those who disobey him, meaning those who disbelieved in his message. This summarizes us the issue of jahiliyyah. So this falsehood which the people are upon is consuming the world, and humanity is heading to destruction, and the only way of salvation for humanity, whether as individuals, or as communities, or as societies, is through this Islam, this religion which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his Prophet with. And us being from the Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it becomes then our responsibility to bring this Islam to the people of the world, irrespective if they are in this city or in any corner of the world. Now, the idea of jahiliyyah, though, as I mentioned, has two senses to it. The general jahiliyyah was during before the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sending. That jahiliyyah is over, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his Prophet, and the world is no longer completely immersed in jahiliyyah. However, there remains a type of jahiliyyah which can be found in some societies, like societies which do not believe in Allah, or in some individuals, like even Muslims who are disobedient to Allah. And so therefore, in the specific sense, when we are saying jahiliyyah at the end of the 20th century for this lecture, we mean any matter which entails the disobedience of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever that matter might be. And so therefore, anything that goes against the Qur'an or goes against the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is jahiliyyah, because it goes against that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded his Prophet with. And also we should understand that the matters of jahiliyyah which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with in order to remove of the earth and in order to teach the people cannot be enumerated. I mean, there's no way we can say that jahiliyyah is 10 things, or that jahiliyyah is 100 things, or that jahiliyyah is 1,000 matters. A list. Everything which the Prophet ﷺ commanded to or forbade from, he was commanding to something which goes against jahiliyyah, or he was forbidding something of jahiliyyah. So his whole religion is against jahiliyyah, beginning with tawheed and ending with removing something harmful from the road. Because to throw on the road and not to be concerned with the environment and so forth is part of jahiliyyah. And so everything of the message of the Prophet ﷺ is calling to Islam and is, in that sense, negating a jahiliyyah. But the question now, which we want to investigate with what remains of our time, is we want to discuss, for instance, what are the characteristics of jahiliyyah now in the world today? I mean, what is jahiliyyah? How is it built today? What are the main ideas? And also some of their beliefs and so forth, so that we may have a good idea in order to how to give da'wah to the unbelievers and understand their concepts and their ideas. Jahiliyyah today is built upon many, I don't want to say ingredients, but many different aspects. Part of jahiliyyah today is based upon the beliefs of the ancient Greeks and Romans. And we can see this very clearly, for instance, in the society. The idea of praising those ancient pagan people, even though they claim that they are Christian people, the pagans who fought their prophet, Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam, and fought the early believers in him, throwing them in the fire and also throwing them to the lions, they praise and they look up to that previous jahiliyyah. And this can be seen either in the jahiliyyah of the Greeks, in the idolatry of the Greeks and the idea of philosophy and the importance of philosophy that it has in the world today. The idea by one's own mind himself that he can answer the questions of the world, the important questions of the world, like as why is humanity here? Where is humanity ending to? What is our purpose of life? That through philosophy and philosophical arguments one can answer this. And also the jahiliyyah of the Romans, which was worshipping one's pleasures and trying to make life just concerned after trying to eat much and drink much and have much sexual relations, which their whole civilization was built upon. This is an important factor still today in Jahiliyyah. The worship of the mind and the overpraising of the ideas of people, and also at the same time, the worshipping of one's desires and one's instinctual desires, which if are not held back by the Sharia, lead to evil. And likewise, part of Jahiliyyah today, part of the aspects of Jahiliyyah today, is that it is influenced by much of the Jewish thought. And most of the ideas of the people today are influenced by Jewish thought in one way or the other. For instance, most of the ideas concerning human behavior, how should it be, are influenced by the ideas of Freud, who was a Jew, and he had a very corrupt idea of human beings, that human beings, their only desire is to fulfill their sexual instincts, and that everything should be explained in terms of that. This is something which is widespread, and you find universities teaching these ideas. Thousands of people employ themselves as psychiatrists and try to solve human problems with these things. So these types of Jewish thought can be found also through the media and through cinema and so forth. Much of these Jewish ideas are fed to the general population. And some of these ideas that, for instance, like the Jews are a chosen people, or that you have to deal with them differently than you deal with other human beings and so forth, this is part and an ingredient of Jahiliyyah today. Likewise, of course, part of Jahiliyyah today is Christianity and this perverted religion which claims to follow the Messiah, Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi salam. And most of their ideas are taken from one way or the other concerning that. And likewise, all of their animosity and hatred towards the Muslims, much of that is based upon their crusade complex which they are affected by. This is another ingredient of Jahiliyyah in the world today. Another ingredient of Jahiliyyah, or aspect of the world today, is the idea of trying to control the universe and all that's in it. That the idea that we should control everything, and we should own everything. And in particular, that the white people should control and own everything, a small group of humanity. That their idea to control and own everything is not for the benefit of all humanity, but just for the benefit either of their nation or even their racial group. This is not to say that we as Muslims are to hate one race as opposed to the other, but rather, as the Prophet ﷺ said, all of you are the children of Adam, and Adam is from turaf, from dust. A person is either a pious believer or a wicked infidel. So the issue of race is not an issue for Muslims, but there, for them, it is an issue. And so therefore, part of their civilization and part of the ideas of the world is the idea that the people of the, especially the people of Europe and America, who they like to call themselves now as the global north, should control everything. And they should own everything. And so this is part of it. Part of it is secularism. The fact that they believe that religion should be separated from society. That we should control the affairs, and we should judge ourselves, and we should organize ourselves, and we should live lives in which religion does not take a part. That religion should only be, of course, in the church, as they understand it. This is also another major ingredient of Jahiliyyah at the end of the century. Part of that is the idea of lack of morality, especially when it comes to sexual morals. The fact that it doesn't matter how one tries to satisfy himself, and the whole society being built upon sexual perversion of all forms, even to the point now where they have legitimized among large segments of humanity, the action of the people of Lut, alayhi salam, of homosexuality, a whole ummah which was destroyed by Allah for this sin, and yet they have legitimized it amongst many people in the world. Part of the aspects of Jahiliyyah today is the idea of capitalism and materialism. The fact that everybody should try to just chase the dollar and try to sell and buy, and this becomes the most important thing. And the idea of commercials, in the sense that something which is ridiculous, which has no value whatsoever, like maybe a plastic cup, they would put thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, just to try to encourage you to buy it, even though you might have no use for it whatsoever. This is part of Jahiliyyah at the end of the century. Likewise, part of Jahiliyyah at the end of the century is that they have benefited from the sciences that the Muslims have were the first to develop, like the sciences of organizational skills. and like the sciences of the humanities and so forth, in order to understand how human beings act. And they have done this, not like when the Muslims had done it in order to make life for humanity better, in order to spread the religion of Allah, but rather they have done this so they can dominate people, and they can control segments of humanity more with that. So these are some characteristics of Jahiliyyah in general, these eight characteristics. This is what the ideas and the impressions and the attitudes which the world now is being led to, and people are called to follow. And if they are not willing to follow it, they are crushed and set underfoot. However, though, what we'd like to discuss now is some specific matters of Jahiliyyah, some specific ideas that these people have, and discuss also how the Prophet ﷺ, or some of the refutations mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah, as time permits, to these ideas. One of the aspects of Jahiliyyah, and probably the most important aspect if you're going to discuss it, is their concepts regarding Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Creator. What do they believe? One of the beliefs of the previous Jahiliyyah, during before the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sending, and it's still found today, is denial of Allah's existence. And we see this very clearly in the Quran through who? Fir'aun. Pharaoh, who claimed himself to be Allah. And that's why, as we find in the Quran, Fir'aun says, وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. I am your Lord, the Most High. So one of the characteristics of al-Jahiliyyah is denial of Allah's existence. And we find that today through the atheists, through large groups of people, of humanity, who deny Allah's existence. And before, whole nations were built upon this idea, like the Russians before the collapse of the Soviet Union and communism there, the whole country, a whole society of millions and millions of human beings was based upon the fact of disbelief in Allah. And like the Chinese today, the communist Chinese, 1 billion people, maybe a fourth or a fifth of the earth of humanity, the creed of the state which every one of them is supposed to follow is disbelief in the existence of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Not to mention the people in the West who have been influenced by these ideas, whether they're communists or not is not the point, but the point is that they disbelieve in Allah or they are agnostic and they have doubts to Allah. And even though some large portions of humanity believe in Allah, those in Jahiliyyah, their belief in Allah is a belief in which they attribute all sorts of faults and imperfections to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And they do not have the belief the Muslims have, the belief that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came with, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has every form of perfection, that He's one, and all perfection is His, and that none is like Him, none resembles Him. As we all know, I'm sure all of us have memorized the surah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. Say Allah is one and the only. Allahu Samad. That Allah is a Samad. One of the meanings of the word Samad means the one who's perfect, who has no fault. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. He has neither was born nor does he give birth. And this is a falsehood and a fault and a shortcoming and imperfection which many human beings attribute to Allah. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. And there is none like Him. Meaning that in His perfection, there, He is absolute. There is having no imperfection. And none is like Him in that. However, though in Jahiliyyah, we find if you speak to any unbeliever, and Muslims who have been influenced by Jahiliyyah, they have very strange ideas and very wrong ideas concerning Allah Azza wa Jalla. And they attribute to Allah Azza wa Jalla much imperfection. I'm sure any of us who's given da'wah to any unbeliever knows that one of the stumbling points that one must get over is their concept concerning Allah Azza wa Jalla. For instance, we find in the Qur'an that one of the ideas that the pagans have, and you still today find it amongst the people of Jahiliyyah, is that they believe that Allah Azza wa Jal was unaware of what they did. And that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala does not know what they did. As Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has said in His Qur'an, وَلَكِنْ ظَنَنْتُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَعْلَمْ كَثِيرًا مِّمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the unbelievers, however, you imagined that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not know much of what you used to do. And you find this among the unbelievers, and sometimes in their, in their plays and in their television shows and so forth, they will sometimes, if they want to pray, one of them will say, some words of kufr, that, I don't know if you know I'm down here or something like that. Do you hear me? So This is based upon this idea of jahiliyyah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not know everything. So this is attributing to Allah imperfection. And likewise the Christians tomorrow morning on Sunday, all these millions, in fact billions of Christians who will go to church, will say also imperfection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying that He has a son. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا إِنَّهُم مِّنْ إِفْكِهِمْ لَيَقُولُونَ وَلَدَ اللَّهُ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says from their ifk, from their lying, that they say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has had a son or has a child. And they are liars. They have no knowledge of this, and this is a lie which they have invented. This is another imperfection which they have attributed to Allah Azza wa Jal. Part of the characteristics of jahiliyyah, and specifically now we're talking, is the idea of shirk. Worshipping others with Allah Azza wa Jal. Taking intermediaries with Allah. And this of course was present among the pagan Arabs, as Allah describes to us in the Quran, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. We only worship them so that they may draw us closer to Allah, meaning their saints and their intermediaries that they place between themselves and Allah. And likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the pagans say, وَيَقُولُونَ هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, that they say that these intermediaries are intercessors for us, between us and Allah. This also is a concept of the pagans. If you go to a Catholic church tomorrow in Philadelphia, and you ask the minister tomorrow there and say to him, why is it that you praise and worship Mary and the saints? Do you believe that Mary created you? He'll say no. But he'll say that Mary, because she is Jesus' mother, alayhi salam, she has a special position with Allah Azza wa Jal. So we ask her so that she may ask Allah Azza wa Jal. This is part of the shirk which we still find today. And if you look at the world today, you find most of the world is steeped in shirk, except for the few people of Tawheed. The Chinese are about 1 billion. The majority of them, I mean, except with the exception of course the Muslims, they worship Confucius and they have their ancestor worship. The Indians, people from India and so forth, about close to 1 billion. And the Hindus have how many deities? Only Allah knows from what they worship. The Christians are a billion and a bit, and likewise we know the Christians commit shirk. The people, indigenous peoples of Africa and South America and Australia and so forth, these aboriginal people, and like the American Indians, also they have beliefs of shirk, whether they worship trees and plants or animals or spirits or whatever. So the whole world is steeped in shirk. And the Muslims, who are supposed to be the people of Tawheed, unfortunately Muslims are ignorant. And that's why if you travel to the lands, you find the Muslims engage in saint worship, in grave worship, and so forth. And so therefore the people of Tawheed are very few, even though this is the message of all the prophets. So this is another aspect of jahiliyyah which we find. Another aspect of jahiliyyah is that they reject Allah's ruling judgment. And this is a characteristic of jahiliyyah. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, أَفَحُكْمُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ. Do they seek the judgment of jahiliyyah? This judgment of jahiliyyah, of course in the day of the Prophet ﷺ, was very simple. The pagan Arabs would go to a soothsayer. A soothsayer is like a person who says that he knows the future and so forth. Each pagan tribe, Arab tribe, would have like one or two soothsayer. And they would say, okay, we had some sort of difference, so tell us what the idols want from us to rule. I mean, it wasn't a written law, for instance. Or they would go to a Jewish rabbi, and the Jewish rabbi would, you know, take a bribe and he would give judgment to whoever gave him the biggest bribe, for instance. This is how the rules and the laws of the previous jahiliyyah, the ruling of jahiliyyah. But today's jahiliyyah, the rules and so forth, are much more complex. It's not to that simpleness as before. But rather, as we know, they have constitutions, and they have laws, and they have codes, and they have international law which you are expected to follow. And if you do not obey and so forth, you will be facing this and that from, you know, punishments and so forth. So this is a major characteristic. And if you look at the world today, where is the Sharia ruled? Even the Muslim countries, those who claim to rule by the Sharia, they only will rule by the Sharia in very few aspects, which is to their benefit. But in other aspects, they will follow international law, or they'll follow the desires and the whatever the foreign unbelievers want with them, like the Americans and others. So the point is that a characteristic of jahiliyyah, which the Prophet ﷺ came to wipe out, was ruling by other than what Allah has sent down in his book and his sunnah. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many verses in Surah Nisa and Surah Al-Ma'idah warned against judging outside of Allah's revelation. And indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in a verse, أَفَ حُكْمُ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ يَبْغُونَ. Do they seek the judgment of Jahiliyyah? Whatever that judgment is, whether it's American Constitution or British law or French or whatever, it's not the point. The point is that any ruling and any judgment that is taken outside the Quran and Sunnah and the principles contained therein is Jahiliyyah and needs to be removed, and Allah's law must rule upon all people, whether they're Muslim or non-Muslim. Likewise, amongst the aspects of a Jahiliyyah is that they have a certain position regarding the truth and its followers. They disbelieved in the prophets, as we know from the stories we read of the prophets in Surah Al-A'raf. They said to the followers of the prophet, قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُ لَكَ وَاتَّبَعَكَ الْأَرْذَلُونَ. Shall we follow you and the lowly people have followed you, or those who are amongst your followers? In other words, they don't want to follow the prophets and the religion of the prophets, because they say that those who follow the prophets are the lowly people. As the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or as we're told in the hadith, which is in Sahih al-Bukhari, that when Heraclius asked Abu Sufyan who was the followers of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Heraclius said, Abu Sufyan, who at that time was an unbeliever, said that the weak people, the oppressed people, are the ones who follow him. Abu Sufyan responded, what? Heraclius responded that this is the way of the Prophet, that always the weak and the oppressed are the ones who follow them. And so therefore, the people who run Jahiliyyah, the people who are the ones who set up Jahiliyyah and so forth, their position is, the leaders of the society and so forth, how can we follow you when these are the people in your ranks? They want a religion only for themselves. And one of their arguments, for instance, they describe the followers of the prophets, as mentioned in the Quran, as badi ra', meaning that they're not very knowledgeable. They have poor opinion. As for them, they have their degrees and their knowledge and so forth. And likewise, they said, وَلَوْ كَانَ خَيْرًا مَا سَبَقُونَ إِلَيْهِ. That had these religions that the prophets came with of any good, these people wouldn't have beaten us to us, because anything good were always there first. This is another position they have towards the truth. And the reason why they have this position is because of, and this tells us another aspect of Jahiliyyah, because of the importance of the world, this world, in their hearts. The most important matter for them is this world, and that their position in this world remains fixed, and what they have of it. And that's why they responded to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being chosen amongst the Arabs as the Prophet. Some of the pagans said that وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمُ الْحَقِّ قَالُوا هَذَا سِحْرٌ لَوْ لَا أُنزِلَ وَإِنَّا بِهِ كَافِرُونَ لَوْ لَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى رَجُلًا مِنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمُ الْحَقِّ, when the truth arrived to them, قَالُوا هَذَا السِّحْرٌ, this is sorcery, وَإِنَّ بِهِ كَافِرُونَ, we disbelieve in this. And their argument was what? لَوْ لَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى رَجُلًا مِنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٌ. Had not this Qur'an been sent down upon an important person from one of these two cities, meaning Mecca or Taif. In other words, they're saying, look, we're not going to believe in this Qur'an. And anyway, if it was to be true, why didn't it come down upon somebody who was important in the society? Why did it come to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who was an orphan, who wasn't in charge of a tribe, for instance? I mean, even though he was from the best of the Arabs in descent, he wasn't the sheikh of the tribe, for instance, and he was an orphan, he wasn't the richest of them, and so forth. So how could the Qur'an be sent down? And this is because of the love of this world in their heart. They couldn't see that this truth goes to anybody except for themselves. And likewise, they have said, as Allah mentions in the Qur'an, that they said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِي قَرْيَةٍ مِّن نَذِيرٍ إِلَّا قَالَ مُتْرَفُوهَا إِنَّ بِمَا أُرْسِلْتُمْ بِهِ كَافِرُونَ وَقَالُوا نَحْنُ أَكْثَرُ أَمْوَالًا وَأَوْلَادًا وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُعَذَّبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the kuffar say that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent in a city a warner, the leaders of the city, the people who are rich and wealthy and the elite of the city, they said, we disbelieve in this message. And they said, we have more wealth and children and we will not be punished by Allah. In other words, they feel because of the importance of the world that nothing will happen to them and because they have more wealth and children and power and so forth. And this shows us that one of the aspects of the Jahiliyyah is that the importance of this world. And we can see this now in the lives of everybody, I mean, in humanity, except for those who Allah has shown mercy to. The most important thing for him is to grab some piece of this world before he loses it. Likewise, among the aspects of al-Jahiliyyah is division. The rule amongst Jahiliyyah is to be divided. And they consider this to be what's to be correct. That everybody is to follow his own way and his own idea, and that's okay. That there's not one truth, that there's not one way to follow. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. Every party is happy or pleased with what it has. So as long as you follow your way, it's okay. And as long as I have my way, it's okay. This is the rule. And the Prophet ﷺ came with what? The opposite. He came with al-jama'ah. That we should be one group following one truth. However though, the way of al-jahiliyyah and until today is that they're divided. That's why you find the kuffar are divided in everything. I mean, even in generations. I mean, you find that even parents are against their children, and children against their parents. And brother is against brother, and sister is against sister. And in politics, and in religion, and in social, and in racial matters, in everything they're divided, because this is what they believe is the truth. The division means the truth. Likewise, amongst the aspects of the Jahiliyyah is taqleed, blindly following the way of one's foreparents, without investigating if that way is good or not, if that way is truth or falsehood. As Allah tells us that how the unbelievers respond in the Quran, إِنَّ وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا عَلَىٰ أُمَّةٍ وَإِنَّ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ مُقْتَدُونَ. We have found our foreparents upon an ummah, upon a way of life. Here ummah means a way of life, right? Millah. And we will follow their footsteps. We're going to follow their way. And this is why one of the major aspects of Jahiliyyah is just following the ways of their previous people without investigating whether that is correct or not. And this is why they argue based upon that, because it is obviously the way of human beings is that human beings like to follow the crowd. Most human beings do not want to stand outside of the crowd. So then they argue based upon this that whoever has the most followers, he must be what's the correct. And that whatever is few is an indication that it must be falsehood. Although we know that, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that Islam began something strange. And yes, it is true that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not bring this world to an end, except that Islam will enter into every single household, whether the people like it or not. But the point is that they argue upon the truth of something based upon the fact if its people are more in number. And at the same time, they will argue that something is false upon that if the matter has its people who follow it, as I mentioned, are either few in numbers or are not powerful, in the sense they don't have much money or they don't have much education or worldly education or so forth. They say this is an indication it must be false. And this is based upon the problem amongst the people of Jahiliyyah, amongst the unbelievers, is that they cannot distinguish between two things which are dissimilar, or can they see two things which are similar. They cannot distinguish between two things which are dissimilar or see as the same two things which are similar. And that is why when they came to the prophets, they said to them, they would say to them, إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا. That you are only men like us. Meaning by this, that since you're men, so therefore you haven't received revelation. But this is a false understanding, because just the fact that they all share in their humanity, that does not negate the prophets receiving revelation. So this rule of the unbelievers, is that, and of Jahiliyyah, is that they are unable to distinguish between dissimilar things, nor are they able to bring together similar matters. Likewise, amongst the attitudes and the beliefs of the unbelievers of Jahiliyyah is extremism concerning the righteous. Even though they do not follow the righteous, they like to attribute themselves to the righteous. And at the same time, they have extremism concerning the righteous by worshipping them. So they say, for instance, the Jews and the Christians, as Allah tells us in the Quran, وَقَالُوا كُونُوا هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا تَهْتَدُوا. Say, be Jews or Christians, you will be guided. And likewise, they said that Ibrahim was a Jew or a Christian. And that's why Allah negated that and said, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يُهُودِيًا وَلَا نَخْرَانِيًا. That he was neither a Jew nor a Christian, but he was a Hanif and a Muslim. And he wasn't from the Mushrik, those who pagan. So, even though they attribute themselves to the Prophet, they attribute the Prophet to their falsehood. And yet, in that which they know the Prophets came with, they don't follow. And at the same time, concerning their Prophets and the righteous, they have extremism by overpraising them and worshipping them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, يَا أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلَوْ فِي دِينِكُمْ وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ. O people of the scripture, do not go over bounds in your religion, and do not say about Allah except the truth. So one of the characteristics of Jahiliyyah concerning their religion, those of them who claim to follow a religion of the Prophets, is that they attribute their falsehood to the Prophets. As they attribute their falsehood to Allah, they write books by their hands and they say it's from Allah. And at the same time, they attribute their falsehood to the Prophets. Like the Jews who engage in sorcery, and then they attributed sorcery to Sulaiman, saying that Solomon, the Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, taught them this sorcery. This is what he came with. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleared his name in the Quran. He said, وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانِ. Sulaiman did not disbelieve. But it was the jinns or the shayateen who taught the people sorcery, and also the two angels in Babylon. So the point is that that this teaching of sorcery, they claimed it was taught them by the Prophets. This is their falsehood. Just like when they wrote their books, which they attribute to the Prophets, or they attribute to Allah. And at the same time, that which they have from their Prophets, which is true, they will reject. And they will not follow. Even though they say that the Prophets are for them. Likewise, another thing they will do is that for those who follow the true religion, they will attack the true religion by the followers of that Prophet. In other words, the Jews. One of the reasons why the Jews will say Christianity is false, and that Isa ibn Maryam is false, is they'll say, look at the Christians, as an evidence against Isa. And just like the Jews and the Christians will attack Islam and say that the Prophet Muhammad is not a true Prophet by saying, look at the Muslims. And this goes back to what I said before, them not being able to distinguish between two dissimilar things or being able to link two similar things. Among the matters of the Jahiliyyah, of course, is their denial of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in his books, whether it deals with the angels or the jinns, or deals with qadr or belief in the prophets. All these issues they have ignorance concerning, and they will disbelieve in many of them. But in particular, of all these matters, let me, since the time is running short, mention one matter in particular, that concerning life after death. To them, it is life after death, for most of the people of Jahiliyyah, is something which they find it unbelievable, that people will be brought back to life after death. And as they said in the Quran, as Allah tells us, that they say, وَقَالُوا مَا هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا نموت ونحيا وما يهلكنا إلا الدهر. They said it's only this life of this world which we live. We die and we live. And the only thing that brings us to an end is the passage of time. In other words, each of us is going to die one day and that's it. But the idea that people will be revived and brought back to life after their death, and the bones will come back and be clothed with flesh, and people will have a judgment, this is what they reject. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that they say in the Qur'an, ذَلِكَ رَجْعٌ بَعِيدٌ. That for us to die and become, we have become dust, this is a return which is far, meaning far for us to accept that this would actually happen. So this is a very important aspect of Jahiliyyah. One other aspect of Jahiliyyah, which is that their position concerning the followers of the truth, which I failed to neglected to mention before, is that when the truth comes and it becomes apparent and becomes strong, they seek no recourse except to try to abolish the truth. As Pharaoh said concerning Moses, وَقَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ ذَرُونِي أَقْتُلْ مُوسَى وَلْيَدْعُ رَبَّهُ. Pharaoh said to his people around him, his court people, leave me to kill Moses and let him call upon his Lord, إني أخاف أن يبدل دينكم أو أن يثير في الأرض الفساد. I am afraid, Pharaoh is saying, I am afraid that he is going to change your religion, meaning Moses, or that he is going to cause corruption on earth. So here, this shows us that part of the argument of the people of Jahiliyyah is that they claim that their religion is to be the truth, and the religion brought to them is false, and so therefore, out of wanting to preserve the true religion, they fight the prophets and their followers, and also they claim that the prophets and their followers seek to cause corruption on the earth, seek to cause mayhem and corruption. Like now, we find the people of Jahiliyyah in the world today accusing the Muslims of being terrorists and, you know, fundamentalists and so forth. This is part of the same ideas from before. These are some of the aspects of Al-Jahiliyyah which I wanted to share with the brothers. And there's one point I neglected to mention concerning Al-Jahiliyyah, is the issue of men and women in Jahiliyyah, from before and today. As I mentioned the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the women that they should not go forth like the tabarruj al-jahiliyyah al-ula, like the going forth of the first Jahiliyyah. This is one of the aspects of Jahiliyyah, the mixing of men and women, and the idea that men and women have certain defined roles does not exist. And this was their ideas from before. And likewise, the idea, for instance, that a woman can be in charge. As the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, that a people will never succeed so long as a woman is in charge of them. And an aspect of Jahiliyyah, as we see today, is that the roles of men and women are no longer understood. There is a crossing over that role, even to the degree that women are in charge of many aspects in life, and they find that nothing wrong. In fact, this is preferred by many people as the right course of action to take. So this is another aspect of the social life of Al-Jahiliyyah. This with the other aspects I mentioned before concerning their sexual wantonness and so forth. So in summary, the importance of this subject is because as we are now coming to the end of this century and the beginning of a new millennium, the people who, especially this society, considers that which they have to be wait for the brothers to settle down. The people of Jahiliyyah, in particular this society, consider themselves that this is the best that humanity has achieved. There is no better. And that it's their job to make sure that these ideas, this Jahiliyyah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved us from and brought us the religion of Islam, needs to be brought to every single human being of the earth. And that even though Jahiliyyah ended, in the sense of the sending of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, the general Jahiliyyah covering all the earth, it still remains. And that Jahiliyyah at the end of the 20th century is built upon different principles, among which is the glorifying of the ideas of the Greeks and the Romans, Jewish thought, the Christian converted, the perverted religion, Christianity, which they attribute to the Prophet, Isa ibn Maryam, capitalism, secularism, sexual wantonness, and also the idea that everything in the world must be controlled in order to serve one segment of humanity, in particular the white people, as they should control the world and serve everything. And that, based upon this, they also have the same characteristics of the previous Jahiliyyah in terms of their beliefs regarding Allah and the unseen, and concerning their shirk, worshipping others than Allah. And likewise, in terms of the other matters I discussed, like the position towards the truth, their ideas concerning what is truth and falsehood, how to recognize truth and falsehood, they're blindly following the ways of their foreparents, their mixing of the sexes and so forth, these other matters which I touched upon briefly. The question which now comes, which I'd like to conclude with in the final 5 minutes, is that what should be our position regarding Jahiliyyah? In other words, what is our role after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved us and has brought us to this truth? We all know, perhaps, or many of us know the hadith of Hudhayfah ibn Yaman, where he said to the Prophet ﷺ, we were in a jahiliyyah and shirk and evil, and Allah came to us with this good. So likewise for most of us, if not all of us in this room, we were also in a jahiliyyah and evil, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to us with this good. He brought us to the religion of Islam. This is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing, that had He not guided us to this good, we would have not been guided. So what is our role then, based upon this? Our role, of course, is based upon two matters, and of course Sheikh Abu Muslima will probably discuss da'wah in more detail. The first matter is that at-taqwa, fearing Allah Azza wa Jal. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تُمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O you who believe, fear Allah as He is to be feared, and do not die except as Muslims. So we should preserve ourselves from falling back into Jahiliyyah. We should preserve ourselves from taking any of these characteristics of Jahiliyyah after Allah has guided us to this Islam, to this good. Because obviously when a person is surrounded by this falsehood, by this evil, he might fall back into it in some degrees or another. So the first thing is the taqwa, sticking to the truth and preserving ourselves from falling to evil. The second matter is that of a da'wah. We have a responsibility, after Allah has guided us to this good, to bring this good to our neighbors, to our relatives, to our fellow human beings who live with us, who we intermingle with and so forth. Because they're also in need of this. Because if they do not get this truth, this good which Allah has guided us to us, what will be their end? Their end will be the worst loss, which is falsehood. As I mentioned in the beginning of the lecture, that those who believe in al-batil and disbelieve in Allah, believe in falsehood and disbelieve in Allah, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. They are the losers. So these people will lose everything if they are not brought to this truth. So therefore, the idea of this lecture, besides understanding the importance of this topic and some of the characteristics of Jahiliyyah now and some specific points, is that we should come to the realization that there is a course of action for us to take, that of a taqwa, by preserving ourselves from falling into this Jahiliyyah, straying back into it in one way or the other, and secondly, by making sure we bring this good to the people by calling unto Allah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, عِدُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. Call to the path of your Lord with wisdom and fair preaching, and argue with them in the fairest manner. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The brother said, many of our brothers have left their home cities to vend in Atlanta at the Olympics. Understanding that the roots of the Olympics are engrossed in shirk, is it permissible to sell at these events or participate in them at all? Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ba'd. With regards to participating in these events, it's not permissible to participate in them if you mean by participation actually being running or throwing a javelin or whatever they do at the Olympics. And this is because, as the brother said, it is part of, not necessarily maybe perhaps a shirk, but it's part of praising the ways of the previous pagans, the Greeks in particular. So this is a pagan festival to which Muslims and Islam has come to uproot and change. And it's very sad and shameful that the Muslim countries have nothing better to do with their youth and send them to these pagan events instead of teaching them to become strong men and women to spread the religion of Allah. But with that comes the question of vending in Atlanta. There is nothing in the Sharia which says that one cannot sell in a place of this, unless one is to say that at this place there is evil which a Muslim will fall into. But if a Muslim is not going to fall into any evil at this event and so forth, and he's going to sell, and there's no harm in this, because the Prophet's companions, when they were in Mecca, used to sell in the marketplaces of the pagans. And likewise, the Prophet's companions in Medina, some of these marketplaces were run by the Jews. They used to sell at these marketplaces. So there's no harm in terms of that, so long as one's buying and selling is halal according to the Sharia. It's not engaging in haram. And likewise, it's also for those brothers that one has a way, of course perhaps the time has passed us by now, but the idea of giving da'wah. We should take advantage of these opportunities when we find large numbers of unbelievers gathering, to give them da'wah. Just like the Prophet ﷺ would go when the Arab tribes used to gather during Hajj, the pagan Arab tribes, and he used to go to the tribes and present Islam to them, using this type of gathering in order to present the message of Islam. So when these unbelievers gather, for whatever reason, the Olympics and so forth, it is important that we try to use these events as opportunities for us to spread Islam, of course, in wisdom and in fair preaching and arguing in a manner which is best. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.